You're improper reporting, balance sheets that won't balance, and faulty oversight of federal grants. These are just a few of the deficiencies identified by consultants for
inspiration.
County commissioners hired them to audit the Monroe County Treasurer and Auditor's offices in 2015. County Commissioner Jimmy Thomas said commissioners have been losing faith in those offices for months.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
That the county pulled money in. We were not comfortable with the numbers we were getting. We made mention of this.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, August 29th, 2016. The Monroe County Commissioners want reimbursed for $150,000 they spent auditing the county treasurer and auditor offices. More on that coming up later in the show.
Also coming up in the next half hour, that's on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, these local headlines.
Police arrested a third suspect today in an apparent robbery that ended in the killing of a 26-year-old Bloomington woman. This morning, Dennis Webb was taken into custody in Indianapolis, according to a statement from Bloomington police. Two other suspects, Johnny Moore and Billy Jean Edison, were arrested yesterday. Police have accused the three of attempting to rob 26-year-old Brittany Sater this weekend. Sater lived in the 2300 block of South Rogers Street, where police found her with a gunshot wound around 12:50 a.m. on Sunday morning. She died from her injuries several hours later. Police say the suspects were attempting to rob Sater of money and drugs, but they've given few other details about the incident. Police say they believe Webb fired the fatal gunshot. The state's court records database states Webb had been charged with murder, burglary, and robbery. The database does not indicate that other two suspects have been charged in the case.
Currently, five Indiana counties have established syringe exchange programs, or SEP, following a change in Indiana law last year. The State Department of Health reports that while Fayette, Madison, and Wayne counties have SEP programs, the vast majority of participants, 90%, are in Scott and Monroe counties. That's according to a story by Indiana Public Media. Scott County was the first to establish a syringe exchange program last year in response to an HIV epidemic.
They have since
supplied approximately 277,000 syringes and collected $263,000. Monroe County supplied 63,000 needles and collected 40,000. Both counties use mobile exchanges that also provide hygiene supplies. However, some programs reportedly have trouble gaining community trust and securing support money. Those SEP programs are legally licensed in law to maintain a network website.
Preliminary plan for reconstructing existing roadways and intersections as part of a sample road connection project have been submitted by Butler, Fairman, and Seaford civil engineers. The Herald-Times reports that the project, which is tentatively scheduled to begin in 2019, expects to upgrade the roadways to accommodate increased traffic due to the sample road interchange for Interstate 69. Construction will start west of Interstate 69 at the intersection of Bottom and Simpson Chapel Roads and head east following Simpson Chapel to Sample Road, picking up again on the east side of 69, following Sample Road to Old Indiana 37. Work will be done in segments to allow local traffic. County Public Works Director Lisa Ridge said federal money will be used to cover some of the cost and might also receive additional funding from the Indiana Department of Transportation to help cover expenses. A formal hearing is set for early 2017 for public comment.
complaining of impassable sidewalks and lowered property values, residents of Bloomington's Spicewood neighborhood spoke out last week against their neighbor Alexander Gold, who refuses to mow his lawn. In a meeting of the Board of Public Works, realtor and Spicewood resident Sandy Sabah said the overgrown yard is a public nuisance.
City of Bloomington volunteer
Mr. Gold's overgrown yard is a public nuisance for animals, missing snakes, mice, etc.
Are there any pros and cons to pursuing this claim, or is it all pros?
It's harming property values. I can attest to the fact that the condition of the city-owned tree lawn, as well as his yard adjacent to his lot, has resulted in the loss of value of other properties in Spicewood. Frequent comments that I get back as a professional realtor with properties on the market there are, quote, I don't want to see that house. I drove by. Why would I want to live across the street from that mess? And, quote, why would I want to drive past that nasty yard on the way to my house? Typical feedback comments. You know, for most people, houses are the largest investment of their lives. Mr. Gold, by his willful disobedience to city ordinances, has negatively affected the property values of the neighborhood.
Speaking on behalf of the Spicewood Neighborhood Association, Sabah said by her count, Gold has been cited over 38 times in the past 12 years. Resident Beth Gaisley said she has lived six doors down from Gold for 12 years. Gaisley referred to a previous court case involving Gold.
Behind that case was a promise by Mr. Gold to be a responsible citizen, and there were promises of abatement, including, I believe, some scything that was going to happen. And I can tell you, as somebody who walks my dog twice a day in that neighborhood, that activity and that responsibility.
Senator Patrick Stauffer said he anticipated the county will need to hire professional help
and so
for the
here we have
auditor
somebody
and treasurer's
who has,
offices.
We have a city that has made a good faith effort exactly to work with Mr. Gould over some time. We have a neighborhood that has made a good faith effort to be patient with Mr. Gould. The only person I'm seeing here who hasn't
and
made a good faith effort to make this
problem go away is the homeowner himself. If the bond company denies the claim, would you then
is the
pursue,
homeowner himself.
You know, alternately, if the bond Long-time company denies
Spicewood
the claim,
Mark
would you then pursue, I guess, a civil suit against Salter and Smith to get the money from
that they've
personally
made in their properties?
I think that is a really good question.
We are not arrogant complainers. We are neighborhood people. There are other natural, certified natural habitats in Spicewood neighborhood. But as
do you have any sense of how long it'll take to recoup that money?
In a newspaper article from Linda Thompson back in 2008,
where does the money go if the claim's successful?
It has to look like it was claimed. You cannot just let your lawn just go.
Board Vice President Kelly Boatman asked City Attorney Chris Wheeler if the yard might become a certified wildlife habitat.
I'm Sarah Vaughn.
The city has tried to work with Mr. Gull to maneuver his landscaping into what we might acknowledge as a natural habitat, something that has acceptable weeds, acceptable plant life, and not anything noxious. And he has refused those offers.
City Council Member Dave Rollo represents the district Gull's property is located. Rollo confirmed the city's efforts to work with Gull.
The city has made provisions for naturalization of yards. And, you know, we encourage people to naturalize their yards with native species because it increases biodiversity, it captures carbon and so forth. But you have to follow a program that we've established. And letting your turf grass grow up and having non-native invasive species promulgate and spread throughout the neighborhood from a source like this is not obviously following the program. And Linda Thompson has made repeated efforts to work with Mr. Gull to try to bring his property into compliance, and he refuses.
Acting on a July 8th citation, City Attorney Chris Wheeler sought a continuous 12-month abatement from the board based on Gull's history of noncompliance. The abatement will allow the city to mow Gull's property on East Roundhill Lane without his permission. The board approved the abatement. Gull will have to pay not only the outstanding fine associated with the violation, but also an hourly fee for a contractor to mow his lawn. Gull was not present at the meeting, and he has 10 days to appeal the decision. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Maria McKinley.
And I'm Doug Storm. Monroe County Commissioners are seeking reimbursement for $150,000 they spent to hire consulting firm Hartman and Williams in 2014 to audit the offices of the county treasurer and the auditor. Sarah Vaughn spoke with County Commissioner Julie Thomas about exactly how the auditor and treasurer allegedly failed in their constitutional duties and the prospects of the county getting its money back.
Improper reporting, balance sheets that won't balance, and faulty oversight of federal grants. These are just a few of the deficiencies identified by consultants Hartman and Williams when county commissioners hired them to audit the Monroe County Treasurer and Auditor's offices in 2015. County Commissioner Julie Thomas said commissioners had been losing faith in those offices for months.
We lost any faith in our ability to get good balance sheet numbers in terms of all the accounts that the county holds money in. We were not comfortable with the numbers we were getting. We made mention of this. We, in fact, were not getting treasurer's reports as in 2014, in late 2014. We no longer received them. We were supposed to receive them every month as the Board of Commissioners to accept at our meeting, and we were not receiving them. And then when we did receive them, we found that some of the columns didn't add up, which is impossible. So that's why we decided to go forward with the council and the Board of Commissioners together decided to go forward and hire these consultants, Hartman and Williams. So it was a problem in both the County Treasurer's Office of Kathy Smith and the County Auditor's Office of Steve Salter that the problems existed. Hartman and Williams came back with 12 points of problems and issues that they discovered in their audit. There were problems with checks being held, with items not being documented appropriately. There were problems with what's called the cash book. There were problems with the treasurer and auditor not balancing one another, so they should both look at the same fund and be able to say, yes, this is how much money should be in there, and yes, this is how much money is in there, and they were not performing that function. And in looking at this, we thought, why are the taxpayers being asked to pay $150,000 to correct something that should have been done right in the first place? Now, under Indiana law, everybody that handles any money is to be bonded or covered by some sort of insurance policy. And we've traditionally bonded elected officials who handle money. So, for example, the recorder, the clerk, the treasurer, the auditor. And there are state statutes which tell us what the minimum bond amount is. And so what we're doing is we're saying to the bond companies, look, you've ensured that they will be doing their job and this hasn't been done. So that's what we're doing is we're saying the county taxpayers